Lord, I thank you that you are there when we call. In fact, your scripture says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that means rescued, delivered, helped in any way, Lord. I'm so grateful that you're there. You're just a call away from each and every one of us. So, Lord, as we look to your holy scriptures today, I pray that we would be encouraged and built up, Lord, in moving forward in life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last couple of weeks, we've been talking about moving forward. And just, you know, I don't want to take a lot of time, but just to help everyone get up to speed, you know, in week one, we talked about some possible signs that you were stuck. And I have the illustration here of a person in boots stuck in the mud. How many people have been stuck in the mud over the years? Maybe you were young when it happened. How many people were kind of scared about it? You know, it's kind of scary, right? You're walking along and all of a sudden, boom, your foot goes in or both feet. And I remember it happening to me. I had to abandon my boots, you know, my parents had to come and pull my boots out of the mud. On a farm, there's lots of mud. Well, there's lots of other things too, but there's lots of things to get stuck in, all right? And so I got stuck more than once over the years. But in our lives, we can get stuck, and it can be pretty sudden, can it be? You know, you're going along, and all of a sudden, you know, just like with regular mud, you're walking along, and all of a sudden, you hit that deep spot where the mud is. Sometimes you don't even see it, and then you're stuck. So it can happen quickly. Now, on the other side of it, though, it sometimes takes a long while to get unstuck, doesn't it? If you can get stuck just like that, but it takes a lot longer to get unstuck. And when I'm talking about that, I'm not talking about natural things. I'm talking about, you know, spiritual things, emotional things, those kinds of things. I was just listening to a partial interview. I believe that it's a Christian singer by the name of Mandiza. Everyone, you've heard of her. And anyway, very popular singer, and she's just released an album after, I believe it was 4 years of basically radio silence. And so she was interviewed to say, well, you know, what happened? And so the story is, the behind-the-scenes story is that a close, I don't know whether it was a relative or a close friend, passed away suddenly. And so as a result of that, she just spiraled into a depression. And as a result of that, she just separated from family and from friends and couldn't write, couldn't sing anymore, just basically went into this, got stuck in the mud is what happened. And so they asked her, you know, well, how did this happen? And she said, I don't know. You know, I'm just going along, loving Jesus, and then all of a sudden this thing happened, and I got stuck. So for each and every one of us, we can get stuck really, really easy. And some of the signs that we're stuck in life can just be a lethargicness of life. In other words, you wake up in the morning and say, oh, another day. Rather than, you know, it's more of a dreading that you woke up than an excitement of the opportunities you have for the day. That could be a sign that you're kind of stuck. You know, the idea is that you just don't have that joy anymore. Now, here's what I do know. The Bible clearly says that no one can steal your joy. The Bible says that. Yet I do believe we can give our joy away. No one can take it from you, but you can give it away. And here's the thing that, you know, the joy of our salvation is important. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, joy is a really critical factor for us to move forward in life. But when we get stuck, I believe that joy gets drained from us. And so we have to come to a place of realizing that we're stuck and then work at getting unstuck. Amen. And so then we went on last week and we actually used a scripture from Revelation 1:8 where Jesus is speaking. It says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is, who was, and always shall be. And we talked about toxic events in our lives, that each and every one of us have had events. Sometimes they seem really minuscule, very small, yet they have this huge impact in our lives. See, the problem with something that's toxic is that it leaks. In that you could have something in a container, and it could be a very small container. Yet if it's toxic, it begins to leak out and begins to permeate all around. Well, in a sense, in our lives, it's the same way. When something has happened in our lives, an event of some sort, it can become toxic if it hasn't been dealt with. And here's what happens. It permeates our lives. It leaks. And our whole lives become toxic as a result of it. Now, what is toxic? Toxic is poison. So literally, our lives become poisoned, influenced, infected, affected by this toxicity that's in our lives. And here's the thing. Sometimes it blocks us from our future. And I love the scripture, you know, Revelation 1:8, because Jesus says, I'm the one who is, present tense, right? And then he says, I'm the one who was, past tense. And then he says, I'm the one to come. And so what's between the present and your future? The past. Says it right there. I'm the one who is, who was, and always shall be. In other words, the idea is that there's something in the past that could affect you from moving forward. And I use this podium as the example that here I am in the present. My future's there, and yet I'm blocked. You know, there's the past that's here. And it could be something toxic from your past. And here's the thing. I'm not saying that, you know, now every moment of the day, oh, Jesus, show me that toxic spot. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? What do I do? I'm not suggesting you do that because you'll go crazy. You really will, because you might be looking for something that's not there. But rather, as you're moving forward in life and you sense an obstacle, maybe the way you're thinking or the way you're acting or just something on the inside, just stop for a minute and say, Lord, is there something back there that's holding me back at this moment? Just ask a simple question. And if the Lord reveals something to you, fine. Let him put the hazmat suit on, go with you back, bring that picture back up. Put the hazmat suit on. He'll take you back, because God is the God of now, the past, and the future. He can go back with you. Go back, clean up that thing. You know, wouldn't it be nice if we had, as believers, like an EPA hotline? You know, we have this toxic problem in our lives that we just dial 1-800-HELP-TOXIC. You know what I'm saying? And they show up, you know, and they clean it all up, and it's as good as it never happened. Unfortunately, we don't have that, but we have something better. We have Jesus Christ living inside of our hearts. The best cleanup guy going. He'll do better than those, Surf Pro that says, as if it never happened. Well, can I tell you that Jesus is an expert on this? But here's the thing. You might be saying, well, look, I've got issues. I've got some toxic things. I could tell you a story. I could give you a list. Why hasn't Jesus fixed it? Have you asked him? Have you given him permission? You see, you're the owner of your heart. Jesus never, when you invite him into your heart, he doesn't all of a sudden take over and say, this is mine, and begin to make you do things you don't want to. He never does that. He comes and lives in your heart because he loves you and he wants to help you. But you then, as the Lord shows you areas in your heart that are toxic, areas that need to be dealt with, you have to give him first permission to show them to you, and then next permission to clean it up. And can I tell you that the dealing with past issues can be painful at times. And you and I don't want to deal with it. I'll give you, a bit of a humorous story from I'll use my son Alexander's past. I won't use me, I'll use my son. Anyway, this is just an illustration to show how sometimes our past can scare us so much we don't want to move forward. So when he was 10 years old, one hot summer day, we were just sitting at the dining room table having lunch. And, you know, kids being kids, they don't wear shirts half the summertime. And so he had come in from running around outside. So he was just sitting there. We were all eating lunch. And I happened to look over, and I noticed on his shoulder this black spot. And so I just get up, and I go over and have a look. And sure enough, it's a tick, one of those Lyme's ticks, right, that had embedded itself. And it had been there for a while, probably at least a week or two, because it had gone down in. You could only just see the little black tip, and all the skin, you know, around it swelled up, probably like, you know, this big around it was swelled kind of up, so it actually almost covered over where the tick was. So, you know, the target was there. You know, all of that was there, you know. And so I said, oh, man. So I didn't freak out, but I said, hey, son, you know, we got to deal with this. Now, if you knew Alex, my son, he's now this big, tough guy. But at that moment, you know what he did? He freaked out. First of all, he pulls himself away from me, goes, grabs a shirt, puts it on. To what? To cover it over. To make it as if it wasn't there. And I said, son, no, we got to deal with this. Now, again, you know, maybe I was a bit melodramatic. I said, look, if we don't deal with this, you could die. You know, the point is that this could be serious. You know, I just, you know, making it serious. Now, that freaked him out even more, all right? Listen, I'm a parent still learning, all right? And it was 20 years ago. Give me a break, all right? But, you know, at the time, I was just trying to stress the importance of we got to deal with this past thing that's happened. In other words, it happened 2 weeks before, but now, this is now. We got to deal with this for you to move forward in your life. Or you could get really, really sick by this, and it could affect you for your entire life. And his response was, Dad, listen, just get a Band-Aid, put on it, let's just cover it over. That was his answer. Can I tell you, that's the answer you and I give sometimes to our past. It hurts. We're full of fear. We don't want to deal with it. And so here's what we want to do. We want to mask it. We want to cover it over. But here's the problem. If I did that with my son, you know, I said, okay, son, you know, I understand you're really stressed by this. Okay, let's just cover it over. Maybe he wouldn't be with us today, or he'd be walking around or in a wheelchair today because of all the different diseases that the ticks give off. In other words, it had to be what? Dealt with. Now, all of you right here, how many people believe that it should be dealt with? It's like a no-brainer. But when we begin to compare that to toxic areas in our lives, we might not be quite so sure. We might be saying, Lord, you know, can't we just cover this over? Can't we just kind of slide by this and move forward? Anyway, so what we go back, I'll finish the story with my son because you'll wonder, well, what happened. And so we got the, you know, the tweezer things. Now, it took my entire family to hold him down. He's screaming. He's crying. You know, finally, I, you know, basically wedge his head between, you know, and go in and pull this thing out, dump a bunch of alcohol on him. Praise God. Didn't get sick. He's good. But here's the thing. At that moment, it did hurt a little bit to dig this thing up, to deal with it. Just the same for you and I. These toxic issues, they've been there for a while. They've been affecting you. They've been poisoning different parts of your life, sometimes unbeknownst to you. Every once in a while, it kind of shows up, maybe with an attitude or a way of thinking or words that you say. And you need to, when that happens, and the Holy Ghost says, that's toxic. Something's wrong there. Take a minute and just stop and do a little rewind and say, Lord, where'd that come from? And let him do a hazmat cleanup, amen? And he'll do a great job. And when it's all over, though it might be a little painful with that whole visit back, when you move forward, you won't have the obstacle anymore. You can move forward in all that God has for you, amen? And so we talked about that at great length last week. And again, the CDs are available. It's online. You can get that. But what I want to do is move on to a scripture in Luke 9 today. We need to talk about some things of basically how we can move forward now. So in Luke 9, beginning at verse 28, this is getting near the end of Jesus' time on the earth. And so he takes his disciples, three of them, Peter, James, and John, on a little private trip, a little journey. So Luke 9, beginning at verse 28. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he, Jesus, took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his, Jesus' glory, and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from Jesus, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. And so here we have an account where Jesus takes his inner three, that his core group, so to speak, up on a mountain. Now, I find it pretty amazing. It seems like Jesus must have done these little side trips quite often, because here we have Peter. He fell asleep here. Remember, he fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. He does a lot of sleeping on the job, doesn't he? And now here's my thought as I read that, not to put down Peter, but I wonder whether we fall asleep at times. Here's Jesus wanting to take us aside to do something incredible, for us to see something incredible. And what do? We fall asleep. In other words, we're not attentive to what God is doing. And I believe at times we need to kind of shake ourselves out of that and just be awake, be vigilant, because God's wanting to do some wonderful things in our lives. And I wonder whether we've been sleeping through some of the best. And as I look at my life, I can say that that's happened for me, that again, because of the flesh, because maybe I was just doing my own thing. And then when God does something, thank you, Jesus. Kind of instead of really fully appreciating what he's done. Amen. And so what I like about our Lord, though, you know, he doesn't even yell at Peter in this account. I think if you remember, we read about the account in the Garden of Gethsemane. It could be by then Jesus was getting a little frustrated. Just like, Pete, again? Like, come on, you know? I think we need to just get with it. So here he is. They're there, and they're up on this mountainside, and two other people show up. Moses and Elijah show up. and they're talking with Jesus. Now, I want you to picture the scene. You've got these three figures there. And it says that they were glowing. In some of the other Gospels, it says that they were whiter than any launderer could whiten clothing. In other words, literally glowing. Wouldn't that have been an incredible experience to see that happen? And so here they are, you know, and they're not there for just to have tea together. There's a purpose, isn't there? They were talking about the departure of Jesus. In other words, about his death, you know, his crucifixion, and what was going to happen with that. Isn't it good to know that even Jesus needed to be encouraged about his future? How much more that you and I need to be encouraged about our future? You see, that's why God wants to show up in our lives, so that he can encourage us and talk to us and help us be ready for what's down the road. See, and if the past gets in the way, then he'll help us with that. But really, his heart is for us to prepare now for what he's got for us in the future. And it's good. It's good what he's got for you. And so here we have the situation. They're there and they're talking about the future. And so the glory begins to fade, you know, and Elijah, Moses depart. And what does Pete say? Pete says, Master, he says, look it. Let's build three tabernacles. Let's build three buildings here. You know, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, let me ask you a question. Why did he want to do that? Let me tell you why he wanted to. He was having a God experience. This was this incredible moment where literally heaven had come down to earth, and this miraculous, he was seeing a miraculous event. So what did he want to do? He wanted to camp there. He wanted to stay there. He didn't want to move on from that. And that's why he said, hey, Jesus, let's just build buildings here. Let's just stay up here. This is awesome. But can I tell you that when you and I get that mentality, we cannot move forward. There's a place over here, right about here, where about 22 years ago I was praying. And there's only a few times that I can say that God spoke to me where I heard his tangible voice. This is one of those places, right here, right in this spot. And I remember exactly what he said. I remember how he said it and how he showed it to me. Now, what if I stayed there? I can't. Eventually, I had to get up from there and move on. I can show you other places near where Sandra's seated. That's where I sit most of the time or stand when I worship. I can tell you God's spoken to me dozens of times over 22, 23 years. I could show you other spots here on the carpet where I've walked and where God has spoken to me over the years. But here's the thing. God spoke, but I had to move on. You get what I'm saying? Now, what if I got to the point where I said, well, look at that carpet cannot be removed. That is where God spoke. That is holy ground. Don't mess with my carpet. You understand how far, you know, there, I've been in churches where there's certain church pews where people's names are on the side of it. It's like, don't mess with my pew. Because that's God, you know, God did something there. Here's the thing. It's wonderful that God has done things in our past. Just as wonderful. Listen, there are tears in this carpet from some of you. And countless others who have poured out their hearts here. But can I tell you that within a month or two, this carpet, you can kiss it goodbye. No, don't kiss it. Don't kiss it, all right? But it's going, okay? And there's going to be another carpet here. And you are going to come in, and you're not going to be comfortable with it. Can I tell you that no matter what carpet is picked, somebody here is going to have a problem with it. It's not quite the right color. It's not churchy enough. It's too churchy. Everyone's going to have an opinion about it. But here's the thing. The carpet isn't what mattered. It's the soul that's on the carpet. You hear what I'm saying? And what we have to do as believers is be able to appreciate that, to realize that all the fixings is very secondary to what God wants to do in our hearts as his children. Amen? And so I know for each and every one of you, you've got certain places here where God has done things. Maybe it's you saw the way the stage was at a certain time, and you're like, man, I just feel something. I just feel that's home to me. Can I tell you, the stage is going to change. It's going to make some of you uncomfortable. You're going to say, it's not as good as it was. But do you remember what Jesus said? He said, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, the new doesn't taste as good as the old. But here's what he said. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So what he's saying is that there's going to be times where we're not going to agree with maybe some of the natural things that are going on. In fact, do me a favor, put the picture up of the church. We have a picture. It's actually from my office, and we took a picture. This is when the church was built back in 1985, 86. Looks very nice, doesn't it? Now imagine if we left the wood like that. What color would it be now? It'd be black. In fact, it'd be all rotted. It'd be gone. And so that's why somewhere along the way it had to be painted, and it was painted and looked after. Years later, we had to replace a bunch of wood along the bottom. Guess what? We got to do it again. You know, it's an ongoing thing of moving forward in our lives. And so as beautiful as that is, there has to be a moving forward. And so in your life and in mine, it's the same way. We have certain comfort things that we're used to. We've touched God through it. I'll give you an example. Here's my Bible. This is the third main Bible that I've ever had. Now, if you look at the other two that I have bookbinding tape on them. I've got, you know, I got notes in them. Can I tell you that every time I had to go to a new Bible, I hated it. It felt like blasphemy to me. In other words, like the first, but that's where God spoke to me. I made notes. And, oh, Lord, that's it. And then I get my next one and I make new notes. And I had the same separation anxiety with it too. And so now I'm to this one, and I'm doing my best to try to hold on to this one for a long, long time because I've got a lot of notes in here. But the thing is, I had to move forward because literally my other Bible pages are falling out. If I held it like this, it would, you know, pages would fall out. It was time. And so it's the same for you and I. And listen, we're in good company because here's Peter saying, I want to stay. Let's stay here. But here's the thing. We wouldn't have all the acts of what Peter did in the book of Acts. We wouldn't have 1st and 2nd Peter where he wrote to the other churches. If he just became a hermit and lived on the top of a mountain, that wouldn't be of any value, would it? And it wouldn't be of any value to you either. And so in our lives, there's a constant moving forward. But to move forward, there has to be a letting go of the past, a letting go of what you're doing now. And can I tell you, it's difficult because we connect to God through our surroundings. It's just by nature. You can't help it. But here's the thing. We need to begin to connect to God from inside here. See, here's the reason why I'm saying this, and it's so important. If you connect to God just by your surroundings, for example, even of this building, of this room right here, then that means the only time you really hear from God is when you're in here. But shouldn't you be able to hear from God when you're in your car, when you're in a house, when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're just out walking around? You see, the Bible says that we are mobile tabernacles. You see, Peter didn't get it at this point. He's wanting to build permanent buildings on a mountain. Yet the word says that you and I have temporary tabernacles. In other words, we are mobile tabernacles. Jesus is in us. So wherever we go, who goes with us? Jesus goes with us. So the point is, it's not so much what's around us, but what's in us is the most important. And to call upon the one within so that wherever we are, Jesus is there. And we don't feel distance from him. It's like, I remember talking to this one person years ago, and they said, the only way I hear from God is when I put this certain CD on, and I turn the lights down, and I hear the CD, and then I hear from Jesus. Well, what's going to happen when the CD gets scratched? What's going to happen when a light bulb pops? Does that mean Jesus can't talk anymore? Like, you begin to see what I'm saying. Like, all that external, it's nice to have all that at times, but can you do it without it? And I would hope so, because he's just a call away. Says this in Scripture, whosoever, in Romans, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, does it say, if the lighting is correct, if the music is just sounds just right, is there little brackets with a little notation at the bottom of the page? No, it's not. It's whosoever calls. In other words, when you're at that job and things aren't going right, when you're at home and things are difficult, or when things are going good, you can call upon it, and he's right there for you. See, moving forward sometimes just means calling upon him. Now, I want to leave you with three attributes that show you're prepared to move forward, all right? The first thing is that you are a praying Christian. All I'm suggesting is that you're in communication with the Lord, and really I've already segued into that already, that you're talking with him, interacting with him, that you're getting past the color of the carpet. You're getting past how the stage looks. Now, I think we're going to do some cool things, all right? I'm going to be quite honest with you, some cool things. And for some of us older folks, it may be a little bit of a learning curve for us. We may take some time to adjust. How many people are willing to adjust? Put your hands up. We got some people that are having some trouble at the front here. You'll be okay, I promise you. We'll take you through baby steps. It'll be fine, amen? And so we have to be willing to pray, to be connected with God, knowing that that's the most important thing. The next step of moving forward to getting out of that unstuck place is to prioritize our lives. There's very practical points to this. We have to come to a place of putting God first. Now, when I say putting God first, I'm not saying put church first. It's very different. Again, here's a pastor saying, don't put church first. Listen, church is really, really, really important, all right? But I'm just going to put that on a side burner for right now. Let me tell you, God is the most important thing. Your personal relationship with Him, your prayer time with Him, that is absolute, 100%, don't compromise in that at all, right? You know what the next thing on the list is? Is your family, those whom you're responsible for. That's the next most important thing in your life. Now, can I tell you that there are people who neglect their families, quote, for the sake of God? Can I tell you, the Bible says that's sin, and you need to repent. You know that there are people who go to church extra or say that they're spending time with God as a way of escaping their family responsibilities. And that's not right. That's sin. That's what the Bible says. So, God first, and then family. And then I believe next should be church. In other words, your relationship with the body of Christ. The idea is, as Scripture says in Hebrews, don't forsake the gathering of the brethren. In other words, we get strength together, don't we? When we gather together and we work together, the idea is that gives us strength. So it's really, really, really important. And then next in line, listen, is your finances and your career. In other words, your job and the way you handle money. That is really, really important to God. And if your life is in shambles, it's very hard to move forward if things are a mess. It's really hard to. You know, and you and I need to get, you know, both maybe in the natural and in the spirit, we need to get dumpsters. And we need to throw some stuff overboard. We need to prioritize some things and get some things in order. Why? Because you and I want to move forward in the Lord. You know, when we replace the carpet here and do a bunch of things here, guess what? We're getting a giant dumpster. Because the old has to go. So the new can come in, amen? And it's the same in the realm of the Spirit. Sometimes we just gotta take an honest, critical look at how we're doing things and say, am I doing things the right way? Am I putting God first? Am I putting my family first, those I'm responsible for? You know, am I putting church as an important thing in my life and finances and career? I remember someone coming up for prayer a number of years ago and I said, will you please pray for me? I'm under persecution at my job. And I said, oh man, you know, what's happening? And I said, well, man, my boss, you know, says he's going to fire me. And you know, I know I'm just suffering for Jesus, but I don't know if I can take it much longer. And so I said, well, you know, I've been a boss, you know, tell me why he wants to fire you. Because to be quite honest, you know, most bosses, if you're an asset, they don't want to fire you. So here's what this person goes, well, you know, I've been at church meetings, you know, over and over, and man, they've been running late, and so as a result, I haven't got enough sleep, so I've been late all week to my job. I'm like, dude, you're not being persecuted for Jesus, you're just being lazy. Now, obviously, he didn't like to hear that, but it's the truth of it. In other words, he was putting just being at church more important than providing for his family and doing what needed to be done. Now, here's the other side of the ditch. You're at a church service and God's moving in a tremendous way and you're looking down at your watch and you're like, I am committed to 11:30 and I am out of here. And yet God begins to do something. You see what I'm saying? And then so you can see the other side of this where you don't have enough flexibility on that one occasion to be able to stop and say, Lord, I just want to hear what you're doing here. Now, can I tell you that if you do that on occasion, you probably will not lose your job. Because you'll still be able to get up. You hear what I'm saying? There's this balance in the whole thing. But a prioritizing of your life. To have everything decent and in order. God first. Amen. Always God first. And when you put God first, He directs the rest of your life. Amen. And so, you're going to see some changes here. We're upgrading our parking lot. We're going to add to the backside of the parking lot. We're going to fix our one up top. How many people are tired of the little gravel circle that's up top? You know, we're actually going to fight back and push back and actually reclaim the upper parking lot. So that's going to be happening. You know, the new carpet, we're going to expand the stage a little bit so I can walk around a little bit so I can get closer to you. I'd really like to do that. And I'll tell you why I'm up here. Because when I'm down here, the guys at the back, how many people went, let's just take a honest survey here. When I was down here, could you at the back see me? No, Put your hand up if you couldn't see me very well. You might have saw a shiny little head, but that was about it. Right. All right. So this little shiny head kind of moving back and forth. That's all you saw. And so there's a reason why I'm up here. You see, if I can't see you, it means you can't see me. And when I'm down there, I can't see you. And so it's important. I want to be able to connect with each and every one of you. And so those are things that we want to do, is just make things better that way. But having said that, better doesn't always taste better. Because when we're doing something new and different, there's an uncomfortable part to it. But I'm asking that we can kind of work together with that. You know, sometimes in our lives, we don't know where to start. Our lives can be pretty jumbled up. Does everyone know what I'm talking about? It's like, how do we begin to put this in order? So I'm going to ask Jonathan, my son. He's got a very interesting story he's going to share concerning that. Amen?
Good morning. Well, like my dad said, I've got a story to share with you, and I'll call it the story of two houses. Now, this is a personal story, and about 4 years ago, my wife and I were casually looking for houses. And when I say casually, I was casually looking for houses. She was pretty aggressively looking for houses. And so we were going through, looking around, and then one day I'm at the apartment, and she comes home and says, John, she's all excited, I found the place we're going to live. And I said, all right, well, you know, let's go take a look. And so we drive over, we get to the house, and we pull in the driveway. And the first thought I have is, this is the house? This is what you're thinking? And I get out of the car, and we're walking around the property, and it is on a beautiful plot of land. But as I'm looking at the house, this thing is dilapidated, very old, very small, very just unkept. And I see there's no one living there clearly. We look in the windows and it's looking very drab, very, you know, nothing going on here. So eventually we contact the listing agent and we ask them about the house. And the listing agent even said, I'm talking to him. I'm saying, so what's the condition of the house? He says, oh no, they're just selling the land. The house is there just to be torn down basically. So that gives you an idea of how bad this house was. So then we set up a meeting with the owner. We go and walk through the house, and the owners were great. You know, they take us through. And as we're walking through, they say, okay, just don't step over there because the floor is sagging. We just don't know how weak it is there or anything. Nobody's lived here for 10 years or so. You know, it's just in rough shape. So I'm looking at that, and we have to kind of skirt around the edge of the house to, you know, walk in there. And literally the floor had this big sag in it. You know, it was ridiculous looking. And the whole time, you know, once we get out to the car, Bethany just has tears coming down her face saying, this is our house. And I'm thinking, really? You know, this is what you want? I don't understand this at all. Now, I'm in the construction field, so I know anything can be fixed. But everything with this house, I'm just thinking of a dollar symbol next to it. So, you know, and I'm just, this is a mess. This place, you know, I can't envision it. But because she had such vision for it, and she started telling me, no, we could do this over here and this over here, and it'll make it look awesome, and it's going to be an awesome home for us. And she convinced me. You know, even though, you know, I just saw it as pretty much a garbage heap at that point, that it was worth it because she had this great vision for it. So we negotiated the price, got it for a great deal. We buy it, and then it took me over a year to do it. I was kind of fixing it up on nights and weekends and things like that. But by the end of it, well, actually, before I even get to that, once we got into it, we realized there was even more work than we thought, too. I literally had to take it down to the dirt floor, down to the studs, so it was just the shell. Just the shell was there, and we redid it all. But then once it was all done, we were blessed with this amazing house, and I wish I had pictures of kind of the before and after, but unfortunately, we weren't that diligent with that. But it was amazing how it came to be. Now, I tell you this story, and I've got just another half of a story in a second, but I tell you this story to bring about one main point, and that is some of you here feel like that house. You feel like you're beyond the point of repair, that everybody has given up on you, that there's no saving you. There's no getting past the point that you're stuck at because nobody sees the potential in you. And I want to encourage you today that God sees you just as Bethany saw that house. She sees not as you currently are, but what you can be. And the potential of what God can do in you is phenomenal. And you are never beyond the point of being repaired, never beyond the point of being fixed. And you are worth fixing to him. if you'll go to him, if you'll let him come in as that contractor and fix you up and do it. And like my dad mentioned, it's painful at times because you have to let him into those areas that, you know, are your pet areas or those areas that, you know, cause some pain and discomfort because of what happened in your past. But if you let him do the work, it's phenomenal the results you'll have. So now that house, you know, we lived in for over a year and it was a huge blessing to us. And then an opportunity came up to get an even bigger house. And again, we're a pretty ambitious couple, as I'm sure those of you who know us know. So we found another house that was in rough shape. So, but it was bigger. It's right up the street from that house. And Bethany, again, she found it, came to me, said, John, I found the next spot we're supposed to be in. And, you know, all excited and we go to it. This one I was a little more convinced on. So we start going to it, and we purchased it. You know, everything worked out great, and we moved into it. And as we were fixing it, I have one room that's kind of the construction zone room in it, okay? It's the one room still to this day. It's unfinished. It's where I have my saws and stuff that I'm kind of using that as the workspace to finish all the rest of the house, you know, and kind of go room by room and go through. So this house is, you know, the house is nice, but the room is a disaster. And we had some visitors come back a few months ago from England, came to visit with us. And even just because of how bad this room was and just unkept, you know, the sheetrock's damaged, everything's just not in order with it. So what I did to mask it was I just hung a tarp virtually over the doorway and kind of said, oh, yeah, it's under construction, so just ignore that room. Just kind of go over here. We just had a bonfire with the college young adult group, and whenever anybody needed to go into the bathroom, I'm like, yeah, just don't look to the left when you walk in, you know, just basically because I took down the tarp because I'm always doing work around there. So, you know, when you go in, if you go to the right or you go up the stairs, it's fine. But when you look to the left, it's a disaster. So this is what God was showing me through this, too, is that some of us, you may not feel like maybe you're beyond repair. Maybe you feel like you've got a lot going good for you. But you've got that one room in your life, that one area that you're saying, Jesus, just ignore that right now. God, just stay out of that room. We're good over here. The rest of the house is livable. Everything's great. But this one room, this one area, I'm not ready to give that up. I'm not ready to have you fix that yet. And I believe God wants to bring us to a point that we're moving forward. We're the best we can be, and we got to let him into those rooms. Got to let him bring the restoration that needs done in our lives so that we can experience the fullness of what he has for us in order for us to move forward. So if I could, I just want you to bow your heads with me for a moment. And if you're here and either of these two situations apply to you, I just want you to raise your hand up to the Lord. Nobody's looking around, but just raise up your hand and say, Jesus, I want to let you in. Whether, you know, it's this one room or I feel my whole life is just distraught. Lord, you see those hands that are raised. You see the individuals that are asking for your help in this place, Lord. And I ask that you would come in and do the work that needs done. You would reveal our part to play in it, Lord Jesus. And that you would do the amazing work that only you are able to do, to bring the hope, healing, and wholeness that you've called us to walk in, so we can share that with the rest of the world that we interact with as well, God. Because it's not just about us, but it's for the other people we interact with. And we stand on that verse right now of Jeremiah 29:11, Lord, knowing that you have great plans for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future. And we thank you for that, Lord. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Johnny. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. You know, my prayer is that you've been encouraged this morning. God is for you. Amen. And not just Sunday morning, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, all the way through. And if you need prayer for anything, listen, we would absolutely love to pray with you if we can be of any help to you. Amen.